one of the central points of our celebration of the Ascension was that it was not a departure, but a new way of the Lord being present among us. It was a celebration of a mystery of faith, something that we cannot see with our eyes, but we can see with faith, presence of God. It's important that we keep that in mind, because Jesus, in today's gospel, again speaks about going back to the Father. And if we misunderstand it, it sounds like he's going away. What he's saying here is his unity with the Father is being shared with us, and his way of being in the world is through us by the power of his Spirit. So when he says at the end of the gospel, I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, he's not saying I'm not going to be in the world. Where would we be if God were not here, if Jesus were not with us? No, he's saying their, meaning the, us, the church's being in the world is his way of being in the world. His way of acting in the world is by sending forth his church, his body, filled with his Spirit, to continue his work. This idea that Jesus is present in a new way, in a higher way, in an invisible way, makes it necessary for us to be able to see what we can't see with our eyes. It's related to the gift of the Holy Spirit that we will pray for today. This is the fifth day of our novena, and we pray for the gift of knowledge. This gift of knowledge enables us to see the things of this world in relation to what is higher than this world. It's evaluation. It's a knowledge of the relative value of earthly things relative to what is transcendent. So it's a very beautiful gift, because without it, we tend to overvalue the lesser things, and we give lesser value to what is really important. So we need this gift. Another concept that we have to get a hold of if we're going to understand what Jesus is talking about is glory. In John's gospel, Jesus speaks about glory all the time. Being glorified, glorifying the Father glorifying him, glorifying my name, I give glory to you, and all these things. Today's gospel is a good example of it. If we don't know what glory is, it's not going to make any sense. Well, it's a difficult concept, because glory is what God dwells in all the time. God is always in glory. He's glorious. And we glorify him when we give proper recognition to who he is. It's related to honor, blessing. What can we give to God that he doesn't already have? Well, when we glorify him, we pay proper respect to him. When he glorifies himself, or when he reveals him glory, what he's doing is he's making known something that we can't see but we can experience. He gives us signs of who he is and what he's doing. That's his glory. So he reveals his glory. In our novena to the Holy Spirit, we're talking about glory all the time. Seven times every day, glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Well, what glory, what are we saying? Well, we're paying proper respect. We're honoring God for who he is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're glorifying him. Which is the right way for creatures to relate to the Creator. It's not like we're giving him something that he doesn't already have, or that we're doing him a favor. We're just doing what we should be doing. It's kind of like the commandment, honor your father and your mother. When we honor our father and our mother, it's not that we're doing some special favor to them. What we're doing is we're doing what we should do as children. Proper relationship. And creatures should give glory to the Creator. Or better to say, we as children of God should give glory to God our Father. Now, Jesus speaks about giving glory to the Father by accomplishing the work that the Father gave him to do. Sometimes we speak of the traditional way of speaking about our mission is to give glory to God and the salvation of souls. Glory to God and salvation of souls. It's actually the same because the salvation of souls gives glory to God. That's how Jesus gives glory to the Father, by saving the world. And we give glory to God when we participate in his work of saving souls, starting with our own, when we welcome in faith the gift of salvation, and when we serve as his instruments in the world, making known his kingdom, making known the gospel. This is what Paul is doing in today's first reading. In fact, this is what he was doing throughout his missionary journeys. He was giving glory to God and he was saving souls. He was proclaiming the gospel because that's what God sent him to do. And whether anyone listened to him or not, that's what he was going to do. He says it in today's reading. I don't even care about my life. Life is no importance to me if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. So by doing what he was sent to do, Paul gives glory to God. But what God sent him to do was proclaim the gospel. So, salvation of souls. In this particular reading, now we skipped over a whole bunch of things in the Acts of the Apostles. Most of chapter 19 we skipped over, and most of chapter 20. So we've skipped a couple of years already. He had a fruitful ministry in Ephesus until there was a big riot, and then he had to leave. The devotees of the Greek goddess Artemis, they were upset that Paul was getting in the way of their devotion. So they had a riot and he had to leave. Then he went to different places. And now he's convinced he has to get to Jerusalem as soon as possible. It's a conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit. He also wants to go to Rome, but he doesn't quite know how that's going to happen because he's going the wrong direction. He's going east to Jerusalem and Rome was to the west. But anyway, he has this awareness that this is how God will do it. Now we know what will happen. By going to Jerusalem and being arrested and put under the authority of Rome, the Roman Empire itself is how he's going to get to Rome. They're going to ship him free of charge as a prisoner to Rome. But first he goes to Jerusalem and he says he's compelled by the Spirit. Makes it sound like he doesn't want to do it. No, it's the energy. It's the movement of the Spirit. It's not violating Paul's will, because God doesn't violate our will. But God gives us energy to go beyond what we could humanly accomplish. This is clear from the Novena. The very first day, when we reflect on the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of light, of strength, and of love. With his sevenfold gifts, he enlightens the mind, strengthens the will, and inflames the heart with love of God. So he gives us this divine energy to accomplish God's will. This is what Paul is experiencing when he says he's compelled by the Spirit going to Jerusalem, and he doesn't know what will happen to him, except that it seems that he will be facing hardships, which sounds to us like very bad news, But to Paul, it sounds like this is how he's going to accomplish his mission. He's not complaining about it. He's just acknowledging the truth. Okay, he just wants to finish his course and give glory to God and work for the salvation of souls. Now, he says to his disciples from Ephesus and from that region of Asia, part of Turkey, that these people are never going to see his face again. Which, again, bad news, sad news. His friends, his disciples. But he puts all those things in perspective of the will of God. Again, it's related to this gift of knowledge that we pray for. Knowledge helps us to evaluate the things of this world, including our relationships in this world. Time comes when we will be separated from one another. And if that's God's will, we embrace it. When it's God's will, I should say, because eventually all of us will leave this world to be with God. Paul insists, he says it twice, that he has not shrunk from proclaiming the gospel. He did not shrink from teaching what people needed to hear, even though it was a risk, because when you speak the truth, someone's not going to like it. But this is part of giving glory to God and saving souls, not shrinking from what is true. So this is all part of the work of the Holy Spirit in us as well. We receive the same Spirit that Jesus sends into the church, the same Spirit that gives Paul the energy to complete his mission. This is the Spirit that we're praying to in our novena. We ask him, the Holy Spirit, to fill us with perseverance, with wisdom, with fortitude, with knowledge, with understanding, with counsel, with all the gifts, so that we can complete our mission, all for the glory of God and the salvation of souls.